I would like to talk with you over the next several minutes on the topic of the devil walked into the church and nobody noticed. Today I'll be dealing with the topic of the infiltration of the Roman Catholic Church into the Church of God. So we are living in amazing times, ladies and gentlemen, and the hour is extremely late. Let me give you a passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 5. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So I've spoken many times concerning the Church of Rome, their infiltration, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm here to tell you today that the doctrines that the Church of Rome preaches in our modern day are the same doctrines that they preached during the time of the Reformation, the same doctrines, ladies and gentlemen. I've said many times as a former Roman Catholic that one of the first books that I read was Fox's Book of Martyrs. I was absolutely enthralled by the stories that I read concerning these men of God who stood against the Roman Catholic Church. Why? Because they refused to believe the things that were taught by them. You know, we're talking about people such as John Wycliffe, John Huss, William Tyndale, Martin Luther, Hugh Latimer, Bishop Ridley, many who were persecuted, many put to death, and many more than those people, ladies and gentlemen, that were tortured, persecuted, and many were put to the flames, burnt at the stake. That has the footprint of the devil upon it, folks. When you have a spirit of murder inside your heart and you could put people to death who do not believe what you teach, then there's something wrong there, folks. It's the work of Satan himself. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." That man knew what he was talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about doctrines of devils, doctrines of demons that would seduce people. These are seducing spirits, ladies and gentlemen, and that's how the church is entered, folks. People come in with false teachings, and this is what is happening in the land today regarding the infiltration of the Church of Rome. The Apostle Paul said this in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 through 32. "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." What a powerful word we have here from the book of Acts. This man, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was a serious man. And he let the people know that he was weeping. He didn't shun to declare the counsel of God. But he knew that after he was gone, that grievous wolves would enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Folks, think of that. It was almost 20 centuries ago when these words were written, spoken by the apostle Paul, how these things would be happening, folks. Wolves would be coming in. And he told the people to watch. He says, for 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Where is this type of warning in a modern day church, folks? Rarely heard, rarely spoken concerning the false teachers, obviously not limited to the Church of Rome, but this is a system that declares itself to be the only true church. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ever forget it. So, as I said, the doctrines of Rome, which are preached today, are the same exact doctrines that were preached when they were putting these people to death. So that is something for you to think about, folks. Keep that in mind. They still teach that you need the Pope's interpretation of the Bible. They teach that their man-made traditions are equal to the scriptures themselves. They still teach the sacrifice of the Mass, which includes transubstantiation, the Blessed Sacrament. They believe that little white wafer host is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. They believe that that is Jesus Christ. They still teach that that sacrifice of the Mass will satisfy the justice of God for sins committed against Him. Can you imagine this? The once-for-all perfect sacrifice of Christ is laid aside, and these teachings are still there. Today, they still teach about the place called purgatory. They still offer up the sacrifice of the Mass for people who are dead, some for many, many years. They still pray for popes who they believe are in that place called a purgatory. They still teach about Mother Mary. Oh, yes, they do. Hail Mary prayers, the rosary. We have a pope there in office right now, Pope Francis, who said that if you don't pray the rosary, well, maybe Mary, the mother, will not give you the son. That's what he said. They still teach that a person is born again at baptism. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're born again when you receive the engrafted word of God into your heart. That's what Peter said, ladies and gentlemen. So the old-time reformers, they spoke out against these very doctrines that I just spoke to you right here. And folks, this church has brought forth a counterfeit unity, ladies and gentlemen. It's been going on for many decades now. People working hand in hand with the Church of Rome. The devil walked into the church and nobody noticed. The devil walked into the church and nobody noticed. People have been bamboozled and hoodwinked now for many, many decades. And I speak to you, ladies and gentlemen, once again, as a former Roman Catholic. Oh, yes, the Spirit of the living God pulled me out of the darkness of that system. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God opened up my eyes to see these counterfeit doctrines for what they are. It was the truth of God's word which set me free. So, that's what I tell you today. Folks, we need to be like the people in the book of Acts, chapter 17. It says this, verses 10 and 11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That's what you need to do, folks. You read the Bible, you read the scriptures, and the truth will set you free. That's how my eyes were opened up. That's how I came to see that I was participating in teachings that were totally unbiblical, folks. I came out of the darkness of the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic system. But we are living in a day when the man, some people call him America's pastor, Mr. Rick Warren, he referred to the Pope as our Pope. Can you imagine this? Our Pope. He had the Spirit of the living God, pulls me out of the system, and a man well known throughout the world refers to Pope Francis as our Pope. Oh, yes. Can you remember the words of Keith Green, died in 1982, a Christian musician, evangelist? He said this: mouths that used to speak out boldly against the Church of Rome have been quieted by the times. It no longer is in vogue to speak of the Pope as the Antichrist or the Catholic Church as the whore of Babylon. Now Protestants unwittingly believe that our differences are not so great. That is just what she needs us to think. I've never completely understood why God led me to write these articles, but it becomes more clear with each day of study and each page of research. Never has something so black and wicked gotten away with appearing so holy and mysteriously beautiful for so long. And that was from the Catholic Chronicles, very well-known, famous Christian tracts. There were four of them. And that was written by Keith Green. And those tracts, by the way, they're no longer available. You cannot find them anywhere. They were pulled and they're not in circulation anymore. Leonard Ravenhill, very well-known man of God, known for writing that book, Why Revival Tarries, he said this in that same book. He said, evangelists today are wide-eyed to the might of communism, but tight-lipped at the menace of Romanism. America would shake from coast to coast in 24 hours if some preacher, anointed with the Holy Ghost, gave the Roman Catholic Church a broadside. We stir national interest against a cruel, half-civilized Mau Mau, wicked enough, but powwow with and pander to the Roman Catholic Church. These priests who dope men's souls, these idolatrous masses, these Calvary eclipsing prayers to Mary, these miserable millions cheated in life and in death by the greatest forgery Lucifer ever made. That's from Why Revival Tarries by Leonard Ravenhill. That was written originally in 1959. Yep. When you think of what's going on in the world today, you know, Cardinal Dolan, Roman Catholic Cardinal Dolan, he's the pastor of the well-known St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. And Cardinal Dolan recently spoke about the Catholic Council of Trent. That took place from 1545 to 1563 on his radio podcast. And he described that council as a response to the challenges of Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. And he called it an amazingly effective council. Let me stop right there. So here's Cardinal Dolan. He's talking about this effective council, the Council of Trent. And how effective it was. And this man, by the way, he's invited to speak sometimes in Christian churches, so-called Christian churches. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, that he could say something like that and they would invite this man in to speak. Now, many people do not realize that the doctrines from the Council of Trent that he was talking about, including all of those curses, over 100 curses, were still upheld by the Council of Vatican II. Pope John XXIII, the 23rd began that council, and he was known to wear the papal tiara crown. So, you know, most people are unaware that in that Council of Trent, there are over 100 curses, anathemas against people who would disagree with their teachings concerning their mass, the Catholic mass, concerning purgatory, and so on and so forth. And if you don't believe what they teach, they say, let you be anathema, let you be accursed. So this is what you're dealing with, folks. The devil entered into the church, and nobody noticed. Billy Graham, he said this, this is from Christianity Today. Billy Graham had never met a pope until John Paul II invited him to Rome in 1981. Ushered into the papal apartments by the Vatican's famous Swiss guard, Graham marveled at the pomp. He and the Pope chatted like long-lost friends for half an hour, swapping photos, gifts, and travel stories. Before Graham left, John Paul II reached over, he clutched Graham's thumb, and told him, "We are brothers." So that's from We Are Brothers. John Paul II's legacy of orthodoxy bodes well for evangelical engagement. My, oh, my. Folks, you know, if you ever catch me holding hands or where the Pope's grabbing my hand and calling me his brother, please call me over and wake me up. Would you please do that? This is amazing stuff, folks. We're talking about a system that preaches the same damnable heresies today that they did back then. And keep in mind that Billy Graham at one time described the Roman Catholic system as one of the three gravest menaces in the entire world. What happened? The devil entered the church and nobody noticed, folks. So keep those words in mind as I tell you about Pope John Paul II. You know, this man once referred to Pentecostal Christians in Brazil as rapacious wolves because they were devouring Latin American Catholics. Oh, yes. So that's the truth, folks. He said that, and you can find that. You do your research, and he condemned Pentecostal and other sects, S-E-C-T-S, as rapacious wolves. That's incredible. So here are people preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to win souls, like myself. I came out of the Roman Catholic Church. It was the truth of God's word that set me free. The Holy Ghost came upon me, opened up my eyes, and I've been warning people ever since, folks. It's a sad thing to see what is happening in the world today. You know, all the way back in, I think it was 1983, there was a book written called Smokescreens by Chick Publications. And in that book, it says this: a few years ago, five pastors from Mexico came to see me asking for help. They told me I must talk to Billy Graham. I told them that was impossible. I was just a little tract publisher. Then they told me Billy Graham had destroyed their churches. They said he held a crusade and told all those who would receive Christ to go back to their original churches and win those people to Christ. The pastors told me their people followed Billy's instruction and all went back to the Roman Catholic system. 12 years of work destroyed in one night. That's scary, folks. Hey, you're winning souls, and that would be like me evangelizing perhaps on a street and telling people, that a Catholic and you're trying to give them the gospel. I tell them to leave. So he's telling them to go back. Do you see that, folks? So that's kind of scary. All the work, 12 years of work destroyed in one night. My, oh my. John 16, verses 13 and 14, it says this: how be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So the Spirit of truth, folks, he's going to guide you into all truth. So that's how I came out of the Roman Catholic system. It was the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the living God. So if I'm speaking to Catholics, which I've done many, many times, I'm going to tell them about the false teachings of Rome. I'm certainly not going to tell them to go back there, although they may be, especially if they're younger. They really don't have a choice because they're going to school. You know, and I've told that story before, you know, when I was waiting for my wife to come out of the subway, and she was delayed, and I just started preaching on the street, and this one young man came up to me, and he said, "What you preaching here?" Long story short, he had a little a gang of his friends with him, and next thing you know, I'm ministering to them and find out they're all Roman Catholics. So I was prepared to give them, and I gave them everything, telling them the teachings of their church, purgatory. I told them there was no purgatory, and I gave them the gospel. Oh, yes, I did. I gave every one of them the gospel. Everyone prayed, by the way, to receive the Lord. Oh, yes, they did. I gave them, I poured my heart out to them. And, you know, obviously I can't yank them out. They were young teenagers at the time. This is back in the 90s. But you know, it was a divine appointment that I was able to get the truth into them, give them tracts. And so I felt so good about that. I thanked the Lord for that opportunity that I did have. So, you know, there was a book written, a book called Haley's Bible Handbook, that warned about the Church of Rome. There was a whole section in the back of that book regarding church history. And that man was an amazing man. It started out, let me give you the description. He's best known, Dr. Henry Haley, for his book, Haley's Bible Handbook. It sold over 5 million copies over the years. And it started out as a 16-page booklet, ultimately grew into an 864-page almanac of biblical information. Now, near the back of that book, there's a small section, pages 757 to 804, on church history, which contains the true history of the gross wickedness of the popes and the papal persecutions. It also contains the history of those who rebelled against Rome and sought to reform it. So let me just give you an excerpt from that book. It says, the papacy's methods, it brought itself to power through the prestige of Rome and the name of Christ and by shrewd political alliances and by deception and by armed force and bloodshed has maintained itself in power. The story of the papacy has been written as a background to the Reformation in the belief that we ought to be familiar with the wherefore of the Protestant movement and the historical foundations of our Protestant faith. Some of the things told herein seem unbelievable. It seems inconceivable that men could take the religion of Christ and develop it into an unscrupulous political machine on which to ride to world power. However, all the statements made herein may be verified by reference to any of the completer church history. So that's from Halley's Bible Handbook, 24th edition, Zondervan Publishers, pages 783 and 784. Now, in her well-documented book entitled Billy Graham and His Friends, Dr. Kathy Burns wrote the following concerning the well-known evangelist Billy Graham. Not only does Graham not attack the falseness in the Catholic Church, but he even protects the wrong. For instance, around 1961, Billy Graham bought the rights to Halley's Pocket Bible Handbook. The original Halley's up until the 22nd edition in 1959 warned about the Jesuits. There are chapters about the Roman papacy and the Jesuits. According to Mrs. Haley, Mr. Haley spent years working on those chapters and never would have permitted the book to be changed. However, when he died, Billy Graham bought the rights and removed all the research and warning about the Jesuits in the editions Billy Graham printed. And that's from Billy Graham and His Friends, 2001, by Kathy Burns, published by Sharing. So folks, in that book, in the back of that book, here's this whole section on church history, and it had all the warnings about the Church of Rome, spoke about the wicked popes. And can you imagine this? At the rallies, at the Crusade edition, that he now buys the rights to the book. He removes that whole section. Why? Why would that be removed, folks? Why would you remove that section that exposed the Church of Rome? And now we find Billy Graham would be working with the Roman Catholic Church, using the Roman Catholics as counselors at his crusades. Do you see that? Now, can you imagine handing out these Halley Bible handbooks with that in the back? Hey, do you see what's going on here, folks? So, in fact, I purchased one of those Crusade editions to just check it out for myself, and sure enough, the whole section on church history is missing. That's kind of scary, folks. So he removed it. So here's a man that described the Church of Rome as one of the three gravest menaces in the world. And now, this is what happened. Do you see that? Do you see that? The devil entered the church and nobody noticed. Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, he's now the head of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association ministry. So he told the Indianapolis Star this regarding his father's ecumenical alliance with the Catholic Church. And this is what he said about that. He says it was one of the smartest things his father ever did. What? Can you imagine this? Went on to say, in the early years up in Boston, the Catholic Church got behind my father's crusade. That was a first. It took back many Protestants. They didn't know how to handle it, but it set the example. If Billy Graham is willing to work with everybody, then maybe we should too. That's from the Indianapolis Star, June 3rd, 1999. And those excerpts from wayoflife.org. August 2014, we find Franklin Graham at an event, and he invited a Roman Catholic priest up on a stage to lead everybody at there, probably thousands of people, in prayer. So folks, you know, when you compare what is happening today to what went on during the time of the Reformation, you see, we have a problem. The devil entered the church and nobody noticed. So this has been going on, and I could give you plenty of other people, folks. The list is extremely long of people who are compromising with the Church of Rome. The devil entered the church and nobody noticed. You will find the church appearing by video at the Together 2016 meeting, where you have all these well-known Christian pastors and evangelists. They're all sitting there at this event, and here by on video, here comes the Pope, Pope Francis. The devil entered the church and nobody noticed, folks. This is unbelievable stuff. When you think of Kenneth Copeland allowed the Pope once again to appear by video, and there's the Pope basically talking about we're brothers. Do you see? The devil entered the church and nobody noticed. And people such as Joel Osteen, he's been over to visit the Pope. Many other people, James Robeson, and many others. The man that did that Toronto revival thing, I can't think of his name, but him and his wife were over there too. The devil entered the church and nobody noticed. That's what's taking place here, folks. Another, they get their foot in the door with the Roman Catholic Charismatic movement. That really opened the door wide for the church to enter in, the Catholic Church to enter in to the church, folks, singing the same type of songs. And now they come in, and now this has been going on for decades now, so it's accepted, folks. The devil entered the church and nobody noticed. So I'm going to leave it right there, folks. This is a warning once again to the Church of God for what is coming. It's going to get worse, folks. You've seen it over the years. I've been saved since 1989. So, a little over three decades, folks. And what I've seen just in this amount of time, folks, it's pretty mind-boggling when you think of that 1994 ECT document that was signed with the evangelicals and Catholics working together to evangelize people. Meanwhile, it's the Roman Catholic Church. They need to be evangelized because they preach a counterfeit gospel, ladies and gentlemen. A false gospel is a false gospel. You're not to join in unity with them. Oh, no, you don't, folks. So, you know, my testimony is that I came out of that. I was born again of the Spirit. Here I was baptized as a little baby, which meant nothing in the sight of God. When I was 36 years old, I was born again of the Spirit, folks. I fell in love with Jesus Christ. Every man and woman who's been truly born again, you are a living stone in the church of God. That's the church. The church is not a building, ladies and gentlemen. The church is made up of people. Oh, yes. People, living stones, living believers, people have been truly regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost. So I hope that you would remember what you heard here today. You can play this again, pass it on to your friends, and don't forget those words, folks. The devil entered the church, and nobody noticed. You be blessed, and have a great day.